Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Well, hello there, everyone. I'm back from vacation. It's the 18th of March, and you're listening to the Mistress Interviews with Miss Tia and my special guest this week, Empress Gemma. Welcome, Empress Gemma.
Hi, Tia. Welcome, everybody.
And we have Bookie in the room. We have Empress. I'm sure we'll probably get a few more people toddling in as I sit here and kill ants. Okay, so how are you doing today, Miss Gemma?
I am doing absolutely wonderful. Hired a new contractor, and I'm pretty sure this one's going to behave himself and I won't have to fire him.
Contractor for what?
I actually am working on buying a couple of houses this year that I am remodeling. I'm redoing them. And I'm a hands-on kind of girl. So I'm in there swinging, you know, the sledgehammer, bringing walls and stuff down right along with everybody else. But, I hired this one particular contractor, and he came in, and we were in the middle of working on taking a wall down and found out that it was a load-bearing wall, and he's like, well, we can't move this wall.
Uh-huh.
And I promptly looked at him and went, hello, have a degree in architecture? Yes, we can move this wall. I know how to do it. And you're fired. Get out.
You're going to have to arch it, right?
Actually, all you have to do is, what you do is you put in a metal beam.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That you run flush. Uh-huh. And then the ceiling looks like it's, you know, all one ceiling, but the load is actually, you know, carried by the huge beam,
right.
The metal beam. So, I know that it can be done. It's just he didn't want to bother. And, you know, anybody who looks at me and goes, well, we can't do it. Okay, that tells me that, you know, you're A, lazy contractor, and B, you're an idiot. So, goodbye. And, this morning I did contractor interviews. And, Bookie says, new
this
show on PBS,
dungeon.
The dungeons, this old dungeon starring Milady Gemma.
Instead of this old house, I like that. That's cool. That's a very good idea, actually. It's a really cool. This old dungeon. You could go in and revamp castles.
There we go. Oh, my God, that would be so much fun.
Wouldn't it be a blast?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love
that would be a blast.
Cool. And I know there'd be an audience for that. Especially on the BBC, most definitely there would be. So,
definitely.
You know, I forget, I know you've been with us a while, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah, I'm going on 4 years now. Yeah, 4 years with LDW and loving it.
Time just flies, doesn't it?
It does.
I can't
it definitely
believe.
Does.
Well, I can't believe that I've been around almost 12.
Wow.
Really goes.
I would say you're an old timer, but
I've actually been around the longest of anyone.
Yay!
So, yeah, I guess you could say I am the senior mistress. Although we won't be saying senior as in AARP.
Yeah, no, we don't do ARP here.
I'm sure those will start coming in the mail soon. So what was it that made you decide to become a phone mistress?
The decision to become a phone mistress was actually not really my idea.
Really?
I have a friend of mine. I adore her. She's a lifelong friend. Love her dearly. We've been friends since we were 5. We grew up together. We've done everything together. And she is actually one of my submissives. She is fully transformed and have been there with her through the whole shebang. And she had to go out of town for a while. And so, you know, we kind of did a, you know, did a few things and stuff. And when she got back, she's like, you know, she suggested that I consider doing it as a way to, you know, not only share my experiences, but also, you know, to find a creative outlet, as she put it. Truthfully, I think she was kind of hoping that it would take some of the focus off of her for a while. So she's the one that suggested it, and I kind of went, well, you know, it, you know, let's find out. And yeah, been doing it ever since.
It's funny how those things just happen, you know. It's not something you planned on doing, but loved it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, the only thing I can say is, you know, the first few times that, you know, that I did it, I realized a few things and went, could have fun with this.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you have a degree in architect.
Yeah, that's one of three.
One of three?
Yeah.
So what sort of education and careers have you had prior to
that? Well, this is where my geeky side comes out, because you might say that I'm a career education nut. I have a degree in architecture. I have a bachelor's degree in architecture. I have a master's degree in business administration, and I have an associate's degree in the psychology of deviant behavior.
Oh, well, that certainly came in handy.
And you would think none of those actually fit together, but, you know, in truth, in you know, in reality, they all kind of do fit, you know, fit right in there.
Absolutely.
You know, I've also been to, you know, I'm a certified motorcycle mechanic. I'm a gearhead. I'm a biker bitch.
Yes, I know that you love motorcycles.
Oh God, yeah, and I can't wait to get out. I am just dying. Yesterday it was 50 degrees, and I was already washing my bike down. I got a new bike this year, and I'm already washing it. Yeah, I have a Honda Fury this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been all about being the passenger.
Yeah, and see, for me, there's just something about having total control. You know, I mean, it's me and the bike, and that's it. You know, once I pick my feet up and I'm going, it's I'm the one that's in complete control.
Well, I can certainly understand that. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Everything we do. I mean, seriously, it just is.
It is.
So you did go to college, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But
and actually, I technically continue to go to college. I haven't ever stopped. I take college courses whenever I can. You know, I've done forensics courses, I've done law enforcement courses, I've done cooking courses, I've done ceramics courses, I've done metalworking courses. I'm hooked on learning.
I don't blame you. Learning is wonderful.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I'm. I don't think I'm ever going to stop being a college student.
Yeah. Oh, I don't blame you. There's always something new to learn. So, what do you think was your favorite class?
My favorite class?
So far,
my favorite class. You know, I have to be honest. I think probably my favorite class was. Was actually my hands-on forensics lab. Where
that's what Bookie just said, forensics.
Yeah, forensics. Hands-on forensics lab. I got to go, we got to go into the lab and do the forensics we got to do a full forensics exam on a cadaver, which was really freaking cool. So yeah, there's a morbid side to me too.
I don't think there's anything all that, I mean, some might say that that's morbid, but I just find it fascinating. And especially the human body in general anyway. There are so many things about it that are just fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Makes a note to never piss off Miss Gemma. Never try. Yes, because she should know how to kill you and how to hide the body. Make sure that nobody's ever going to prove it. Yes. Oh, yes, and make a note not to sleep near her either. Well, that's a good point. Oh, that was so funny. So, was your first phone sex call with LDW or prior to that?
Actually, my technically first phone sex call was not with any company.
Huh?
My first phone sex call was actually, I was telling you about my girlfriend that had to go out of town. Well, when, at the time, he was still a he. This was prior to him changing over. And he had to go out of town. He was going to be out of town for a few months. And he had just started hormone therapy. So you can imagine what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we were a little concerned with him struggling while he was away from me. So I set it up for him to see a friend of mine to kind of, you know, have somebody right there. He realized that that wasn't working either. And so I and my friend set it up for me, for him to have a session and for me to call in and for her to put me on speakerphone.
Oh, okay.
And she put me on speakerphone and he absolutely loved it. You know, I had him address her as if she were me, and you know, he followed my directions beautifully, and he said that being able to hear my voice, give him the instructions, really encouraged him to be able to open up and be truly submissive with this other person, where he couldn't do that before. And that was when he came back and said, you know, you really should consider doing this.
So you knew pretty much right away that this was the job for you.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah.
Have a hard time finding a place?
You know, I did phone sex for about 2 years before I found LDW. And if I had not found LDW, I can tell you right now, I would have walked away in a heartbeat. I was just to the point of absolutely completely burnt out. Just, it's like, no, there's got to be something better out there than this. I didn't like those other companies and, they didn't fit me quite so well.
It's amazing how LDW is just far and above. I want to say, because I learned this at the conference, we should say we are world famous.
We are world famous.
We are world famous, and we should advertise ourselves as world famous. And because we are. We really are. We're
absolutely
far above the best, and there's no doubt about it. Nobody would ever dispute the fact that we are the best. So it's funny because, I was telling you, I went to this conference, and one of the things that speakers were the fish guys from Pike Place Market in Seattle.
Okay.
You know, the guys that throw the fish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're world famous. You know how they became world famous? They said they were world famous.
They said they were world famous. They're like, we are world famous. And
yes,
that was that.
Yep. They started putting it on all of their boxes that they shipped fish out in and every container. And they put it all over their signs. And nobody disputed it. They're
exactly
world famous. So I got to thinking about it. Hey, you know what? We provide world famous phone sex.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
yep.
We do.
Of course we do.
You know, and you know, I have to be honest. Once I came to LDW, and I started doing calls, that was when I found that feeling. And it's kind of hard to explain, I guess. But you know, on one hand, it was the feeling of being in control. But it's almost the same kind of rush I get when I have a submissive right in front of me. You know, and I didn't get that with the other ones. I knew it was possible, you know, especially once I did it, you know, with my submissive. I'm like, you know, I realized once I got to LDW that I really truly could get that rush, you know, far more often than I did before. So, yeah. I'm always on a high now.
I think LDW encourages your creativity.
It does. And we have, you know, I mean, we're world famous. Our clients are world famous. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely.
You know, because we have the best clients in the world, period. And I dare anybody to dispute that one.
Oh, I completely agree. So when people find out what you do for a living, what would you say is the most typical? You know, there's always that question. And the funny thing is you see it in their face the minute they find out.
Well, you know, I have to be honest, that depends on who it is, because there are people that know me and know my proclivities and, you know me in the community. And, you know, they will typically, because I don't really talk to them about that part of my world, my life. But typically when they find out, you know, there's that look of, yeah, that fits. And that's usually what comes out of their mouth. You know, the vanilla folks, well, first, you know, they have to get over that shock factor. Huh. You know, seriously? Really? Yes, seriously. And then, of course, you know, there's always the one famous question. Do you get off on each one of your calls? You know, and that, you know, it's like, that question is, you know, that's a yes, but it not necessarily in the way that you think I do.
Absolutely. It is a yes.
It's a yes. Yes, I get off on having control. Yes, it, you know, I love it. Of course, yes, I get the rush from it. So, yeah, I do. You know, and after that, you know, there's, of course, a whole series of questions, you know. But I'm proud to say that I have warped more than one vanilla mind and, you know, brought them over to the dark side with cookies, so to speak.
Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, Girl Scout cookies.
There's cookies? Miss Ryan, all you have to do is ask, you know.
Of course there's cookies. The dark side always has cookies.
Always. Any kind. What would you say are your top four favorite fetishes or types of calls? And why do you like those ones in particular?
Well, I would have to say tease and denial, because those kind of go hand in hand. Role play, cuckolding, and lately, definitely CBT and some of the more hardcore things. You know, tease and denial, well, that's just plain fun, you know. Making somebody beg over and over again, knowing, you know, that it's not going to do them any good is, you know, it's just fun. You know, I always end up with a smile on my face when I'm done. You know, especially when I hear that dejected, yes, mistress, when I tell them that they're just not going to get to have that release today. You know, role play just flat out feeds my creative side. You know, I get to use my my geekiness, my, you know, my intelligence, my, you know, my scholarly side, my dark sadistic side, my fun. I get to use all of me, and it just, it feeds my creative mind and it keeps me creative all the time. Cuckolding. Well, you know, I got to be honest. What woman wouldn't want a man who spoils on, dotes on, adores her, worships her, while, you know, getting to have complete control? You know, the answer's no. Sorry. You know, CBT and kind of the more hardcore stuff, you know, I have to say that's something that I've begun to transfer over to phone sex because I didn't typically do that. You know, I've always enjoyed it and I've always found it fun and fascinating. But that was kind of a part of me that, you know, I really didn't show, didn't use. And I begin to do that more often and I'm finding that it is just as enjoyable as the sensual soft side of me. So yeah, I haven't shown it fully, but, yeah, that's changing.
I do find you can be sensual and soft and still enjoy CBT.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's, you know, I think, you know, I think I have begun to really, I think I've begun to become that kind of mistress that is, you know, the kind that's like, oh, are those uncomfortable? And then promptly rip them off as I giggle, you know,
yes.
Kind of thing. I've begun to, you know, to bring more of that out into, you know, my into doing phone sex, and I'm really enjoying exploring it, and yeah, I'm having fun with the guys with it.
What is your normal schedule?
You know, right now my typical schedule is from about 7 a.m. to about 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. No more night owl for me. Although I have to be honest, some days I step outside and wonder if I'm going to burst into flames. that's my typical schedule. But of course I'm always open for, you know, I love my night guys, and so I'm always open for, you know, shoot me an email and let's set something up. You know, I got no problem with appointments and setting something up so that I can still have fun with my, you know, my vamp side, so to speak.
Well, that's one of the nice things about the job that we do is we are flexible. I've tried day walking. I just, every time I try, it never works.
It is one of the things that I love about it, you know. I am typically a night owl, you know, and have, you know, had been for years. But when I made the decision that I wanted to do, you know, I wanted to buy the houses, I wanted to do this, you know, that's not really something you can do in the middle of the night. I did. I needed to switch over to be able to, you know, and I have that. You know, I love having the flexibility to be able to do that.
Yeah, you don't have to try and talk your supervisor into letting you change your schedule.
Exactly. It's just, oh, this is how you can find me now. This is when I'm on, you know. So, yeah. And you know, my guys are really good about, you know, making sure that they, you know, especially my nighttime guys, they contact me ahead of time and say, hey, you know, can we put, you know, can I book in here or in there? And, you know. So, every now and then you can still catch me on at night.
I'm sure you probably keep people posted on Twitter and on your blog as to what your schedule is.
I definitely do. Twitter, you know, if I'm gonna have nighttime hours, you know, I'll post on Twitter. I'm easy to find. It's just Miss Gemma Y on Twitter. You know, and usually if I'm making, you know, some kind of a change or I'm having special hours or something like that, yeah, you can find it on my blogs, femdomphonesexcalls.com and sensualcocktease.com.
Oh, so you have two.
Yeah, I do. The Femdom Phone Sex Calls, that one, you know, that one's the more CBT hardcore, you know, the biker bitch. The sensual cock tease, yeah, that's my soft sensual side. Not that the two don't float back and forth, they do, but, you know.
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, we all have, it's like a coin.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, there's always two sides to it as well, sometimes more, but. You know,
so
pretty
more,
much two sides.
Depending on if we have multiple personalities. And some of us do, so be careful with that. You never know.
Uh-huh, you never know. Yeah.
Now, I know you probably hang out over in Enchantrix Empire, actually probably more than I do.
I do. I love hanging out at Enchantrix Empire.
Oh, it's nice. I just don't get the chance. But I did post a poll over there not too long ago asking for questions for the mistress interview. And one of the questions that came was, tell us about some interesting events.
Interesting assignments?
I thought, well, that's an interesting question.
That is an interesting question.
Now, some of us give out a lot of assignments, and some of us don't give out any. I'm very selective about assignments in general. If
you know, I give out assignments every now and then. I'm not really one of those mistresses that, you know, you can go on my blog and you're going to find assignments, a lot of assignments. I don't typically give out assignments on my blogs. I will every now and then. But for the most part, I'm usually giving assignments one-on-one. And, my assignments usually have something to do with their dick. I don't have dick envy. I find them, you know, I find a great deal of joy in making them do strange things. Like, oh, I don't know, dress it up like a yard gnome since it's that size, you know. And yard gnomes are cute and adorable and they're fun to look at, but, you know. Or like recently I put an assignment out, actually kind of a dare for all of the boys, you know, it's almost St. Paddy's Day and I kind of have a tradition for St. Paddy's Day. Okay, boys, it's time to paint it green. Show me your little shillelagh, you know.
Wouldn't that be fun? Some green food coloring, boys, add it to that lube. Let's see.
That's right. you know, yeah, you know, I've had them, you know, I've had guys dress them up like, you know, little superheroes with capes and everything, you know, had one dress hers up like a little ballerina with a little tutu and yeah, you know, I love giving out assignments like that, you know, off the wall, fun, just, you want me to do what with what? Oh yeah, that's what I want you to do.
That's the fun part. That's what it's all about. So the other question that came up over there on that particular, have you ever had any doubts or concerns or questions any of the fetishes that you are personally into?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I don't think that I would be a sane human being if I didn't. Of course I do. I have a running series of questions, you know, that I ask myself, you know. Top of the list, you know, is this going to harm anybody, you know, and that includes myself. Of course, you know, in the kink community, harm is a relative term, so to speak. You know, what are the risks? You know, am I willing to pay the consequences for those risks to have what I want? how, you know, can I modify this so that I can still have what, you know, I can still have this, but I'm not dealing with the risks. Yeah. So, of course I do. I think everybody who's into kink does at some point.
I think so, too. Most we all question ourselves.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've even had callers who have called up and you know, said, you know, well, I'm kind of questioning this. I'm not so sure that this is what I need to be doing or, you know, that this is wise. And, you know, you know, the first thing is you know, getting them to be honest with themselves and say, you know, in truth, what's, you know, because every question, every doubt that we have, there's a fear that sits behind it. And, you know, figuring out what that fear is usually is the core of what, you know, why, you know, and then there's the, you know, the same questions. Is it going to harm anybody? What are the risks? Are you willing to pay the consequences? Can we find a way to, for you to have your kink without dealing with the risks, which, by the way, is one of the things that I absolutely love about phone sex, is that you can explore, you know, every bloody kink that you have, and there's basically no consequences. You know, it's the safest way to explore your kinks and find out if they really, you know, and be able to have them without having to deal with, quote unquote, real life consequences. So, yeah.
R.A. So, do you ever
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. You seem to be cutting out a little bit.
Really? And I just changed my privacy thing on my phone, too, to make sure that wouldn't happen. What about switch? Do you ever switch?
That's a question. I have to be honest. That's a question that I think, you know, nobody's ever asked me before. And yes, I do switch, but I only switch in real life.
Ah, okay.
I don't switch on the phone. I am mistress on the phone. That's all there is to it. Sorry, boys. Not going to happen. you know, actually, there are two reasons that I switch in real life. And the first one is because I do not believe that I can truly understand what it is that a submissive goes through, what they feel, what mental, you know, what things happen in their head, and physically what they feel. If I haven't stepped into those shoes, you know, when a submissive says, you know, well, that flogger scares me, you know, I can honestly step back and look at my experiences and go, okay, I can understand that. Now, how much do you trust me? Because I can truly understand why it is, what it is. And the second reason is that I am a dominant woman. I am dominant in pretty much everything in my life, not just phone sex, not just being a mistress, but in everything in my life, you know, to include, you know, this is how I'm going to remodel my house, and if you don't like it, I'm going to fire you.
Right.
And I have found over the years that when I am able to fully and completely go into that mode and switch and submit, that I it provides me with a rejuvenation of sorts, because it's that time frame when my mind clears, when all of my labels are dropped, and I can just be, I can just feel, you know, my body relaxes in a way that it doesn't before. And I come out of it almost with a crystal clarity that I don't get from anything else. So, yeah. But sorry, boys.
Very good.
Not switching on the phone. Too bad.
That's a very, very good way of explaining it. I like that. Now, this one is just one of my favorite questions because I like to ask this question. I don't know why, but I enjoy it. Name one person, famous person, alive or dead, that you'd like to have fun sex with, and describe to us the type of call you'd like to have with them.
Oh, that one's easy. Sean Connery.
Ooh, good choice.
And truthfully, when he does that, you know, he's actually Scottish, but he does an incredible English accent. But if you've ever heard him speak in his real voice,
uh-huh.
He has an absolutely incredible, beautiful baritone Scottish brogue.
Oh, yeah.
And honey, you could read me the back of the macaroni and cheese box. I don't care. Just give me that brogue. Because, yeah, that a baritone Scottish brogue, yeah, that's the one thing that will make Miss Gemma's toes curl.
And what kind of phone sex call would you like to have with him?
You know, I think I would like something that is very, very sensual, very detail-oriented, slow, steady, methodical kind of thing, almost like, you know, I mean, God, what I wouldn't give to do a role play with him where he's, you know, he's this Scottish earl, you know, and I'm some, you know, and I'm you know, I don't know, Mary Queen of Scots.
Uh-huh.
You know, I get him to bend his knee to me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that would be absolutely
amazing.
Sean
Connery, that's, you know, I don't know why, but he seems the type that probably wouldn't be quite so easy to dominate. However, if you could, it would be such a thrill.
And I think that is why I would want it is, you know, I want that thrill of taking a man who is, you know, very dominant, very strong-willed, very, you know, and convincing him that bending his knee to me, that submitting to me is truly what he wants.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That is a absolute coup de grace thrill.
That would be so cool. That would just be so cool. I totally agree. He's got the sexiest voice.
Mm-hmm.
Just hot. So now, what would you say is your one guilty pleasure in life that most people don't know about you?
Oh, you know, that one's actually kind of a tough one because I'm, you know, I don't really keep a lot of my quote-unquote guilty pleasures to myself, but I would have to say that my biggest guilty pleasure that most people don't know about me, believe it or not, is garage sales.
Nice.
I'm a garage sale freak. I am. I'm a garage sale freak. I love going to garage sales. I mean, you know, I'm, of course, the first thing I look for is books because I'm way into antique books. And you'd be surprised what you can find at a garage sale, you know?
Yeah, a lot of things you can find that people don't realize what they have.
Exactly. You know, and I suppose, you know, And garage sales just, you know, I don't know why, but they bring out like this naughty schoolgirl kind of thing in me. they do. I'm a garage sale prankster.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the kind of person that will, you know, that will find a garage sale that, you know, is this sweet little old lady and she's got her little doilies out and all this, you know, And she's sitting there, and she's, you know, she's just kind of reading her book and doing her own thing. And, yeah, I'm the kind of person that will put a, you know, that will put a dildo on the table with a 5-cent thing on it and just sit back and see what people do.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, that's so funny. We had a garage sale last year, as a matter of fact, and my girlfriend sells Pure Romance. You know, adult toys and oil, all that sort of thing. So she had a box of stuff that she was getting rid of, all new, but she was giving up selling it and decided to get rid of all her stock. So she had this great big box, and it said, must be 18 to view, and it was sitting next to our table, and oh my God, it was so funny. Some of the people that came and wanted to look and then actually bought things, and we were laughing. Oh, my God, it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
People
that
you couldn't even think in a million years, you know, like grandma and grandpa bought a dildo. I was laughing. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, and I can just, you know, I can just see grandma, you know, going, they make them that big now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, what he's been telling you is normal size is definitely not. So, yeah. Oh, that's so funny. That is hilarious. I love doing stuff like that. It's so much fun. So now, I know that you love books, and I have a feeling you probably also enjoy, well, we were talking about TV earlier. What about your all-time favorite movie and all-time favorite band or performer of music?
My all-time favorite movie, beyond the shadow of a doubt, guaranteed, when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling crappy, when I'm feeling Singing in the Rain with Fred Astaire.
Oh, what a good choice.
I'll curl up with my nice warm blanket and a nice cup of hot chocolate. And yeah, that's my go-to. And my all-time favorite band. I'm a Deadhead.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a Deadhead. Yeah, believe it or not.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know, I mean, I'm kind of eclectic when it comes to a lot of things. I mean, pretty much everything. And so it's not that I'm a diehard Deadhead. You know, but yeah, that was. And it still is the one band that, you know, yeah, I keep going back to. Yeah.
Grateful Dead.
So, the
good
Grateful
choice.
Dead.
Yes. My favorite song, Touch of Grey.
Oh, yeah. Love that one.
So good. Such a good song. And a lot of people don't realize that that's the title of the song, which that just makes it better to me when they're kind of obscure like that. I like the fact that the title is a little bit obscure from what you would think it would be. And people look at me and go, Touch of Grey, which one is that? You know.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You
which
know,
kind of tells you whether or not they truly know their Grateful Dead music or not. Pull that one out of the hat. So is there anything at all that you would love to tell us that we don't know about you, that there's no way we could possibly know this about you, and you've never really shared it with us?
You know, actually, what I really would like to do is actually put a challenge out there. I would really like to challenge anybody and everybody that's listening to do exactly the same thing that I do. And most people do not know that I do this. There are very few that do know that I do it. But every week, without fail, I go to, there's this little mom and pop restaurant here in the town that I live in. And they have really awesome food at a really good price. And I go every week and I have lunch, and when they give me my bill, I also get a bill for someone else. I've been doing it so long that now I don't have to worry about it. I just come in and they add it onto my bill and I pay it. And they pretty much decide, you know, who it's going to be under certain rules. You know, it has to be, an elderly couple that looks like they're absolutely in love, or it has to be a family with young children that looks like they're struggling a little bit, or, you know, something like that. And the deal is, under no circumstances can they ever, ever, ever tell them who paid the bill.
I love
ever.
That. Random acts of kindness and charity are a wonderful thing. And
yeah.
If more people did that, think about it. That is a good challenge to put out there. Because if more people did it, it could really change the world. If you just did it once a week, you know?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that, you know, it doesn't have to be anything majorly big. You know, it really doesn't. It's not like you need to go out and buy somebody a car and say, you know, don't tell them, or, you know. But simple little bitty things, you know. Paying somebody's bill at a restaurant and saying, you know, don't tell them who did it. I'm just going to pay that table's bill. Or, you know, going to the coffee shop and when you order your coffee, say, you know what, I'm going to pay for the person behind me. So here's an extra $5 to cover theirs. You know, yeah, simple little things. And, you know, the best part is that, you know I'm doing it, but they don't know who did it.
Right.
But I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it made their day absolutely wonderful. And they get to see the world from a different point of view.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I started doing that with the coffee thing. Oh, gosh, I guess it was probably about 2 years ago. I'm sitting in the drive-thru at Starbucks, and it's summertime, and I've got my window down, and I'm smoking, and the guy behind me gets out of his car and comes up to my car and very, very rudely says, do you think you could quit smoking? It's blowing back in my car, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't say it like that. He actually was much meaner than that. And I thought, okay, fine. So I put my cigarette out, and I thought, I wonder what made his day so bad that he had to get out of his car rather than roll up his window, because he could have. He could have rolled up his window.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But why did he have to be such an asshole? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, and I'm not the kind of smoker who's, like, mean about it and says, fuck you if you don't like it. I'm always very polite and I stay away from people, you know, I follow the rules and all that. So it made me kind of feel bad, but at the same time, I felt like, God, what a jerk. So when I got up to the window, I said, I'm going to pay for the guy behind me too. And I just kept going with that because I thought, you know, somebody somewhere just needs to have a good day.
Exactly. They need, you know, that moment when, oh my God, if one more thing goes wrong, and then all of a sudden something goes right.
Right.
And it can completely change someone's world.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer do it because they've asked me nicely not to do it anymore. But I used to go to the police station on a weekly basis and prepay a ticket. Because technically in the city that I live in, it's illegal to help the homeless.
Oh, really?
So I would go to the courthouse and I would tell them, you know, I want to pay this ticket. And I knew the ticket number and everything. And they'd be like, you don't have one on file. Well, I know I don't have one on file. I'm paying it in advance because I'm going to go do it.
Ah, that's nice.
And, I think that, you know, the bottom line is that all it takes is just one moment,
exactly.
One moment in time to change someone's world completely.
Yes.
And you never know what that moment is.
One little random act of kindness. That's
exactly.
All it takes. That's a good challenge. So
yeah.
You have a challenge, everyone. A challenge from Miss Gemma to conduct one little random act of kindness.
Yeah.
Oh, Cannibal says, pay my bill to Anal Addicts Quarterly Magazine, for example.
Dream on, Cannibal.
Cannibal, even if I wanted to, I'm sorry, I cannot support that.
Nope. Sorry.
Oh, my God. I'm just surprised you didn't say, like, Big Butts Magazine or something. Or Hooters or whatever. I always think that's so funny. It makes me think of Married with Children. What was the name of that magazine that he always liked to...
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh,
I have no idea at all.
Hooters. Something.
I don't know. But I do know that probably tomorrow while I'm, you know, doing a little remodeling, I'm going to be, you know, going, you know, swinging the hammer, going, I like big butts, I cannot lie.
You other whack jobs can't deny Cannibal. That's so funny. That when I first started dating Mr. Tia, he put that as his ringtone on his phone for me. And I was a little bit upset. I said, I don't have a big butt. He goes, no, you have a nice round butt. And I said, yeah, but I don't think it's a big butt. And he said, well, it's not a little flat butt. He said, and I don't like little flat butts. He said, so, no. And I said, oh,
yes. Okay,
I get it.
Yes, we have a term for that. There's a medical term for that. No ass at all.
Yes, his father had that, actually. It was hilarious. Jeans were always falling off of him, and I was always laughing at him and telling him, what are you trying to do, be like those gangbanger guys that wear their pants down around their hips? And he's like, no, they just constantly fall down. Oh, yeah, biggins. That's what it was. Biggins.
Biggins.
Biggins. I always liked that. I always thought that was hilarious. He read Biggins. Bounce a quarter off that as. Yes. Bubble butts are nice. That's true. I'm very proud of the fact that I do have an ass. Yeah, and I would rather have that than no ass at all. Exactly.
Exactly. I like my curves.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. In fact, it goes so far as Mr. Tia says, you know, if you got breast cancer, I'm okay with that because I don't really have a thing about tits. It's not a big deal to me. He's like, whether you have them, whether you don't, whether they're big, whether they're small, doesn't bother me at all. Never been a boob man, you know. He's like, but if you got ass cancer, we'd have a problem. I just started laughing. I was like, really? I don't think I've heard much of ass cancer. I know you can break your butt, but...
yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of anybody getting ass cancer. I wonder why that is. How come you can't turn your ass? Well, you could deep inside, but not like an ass cheek. You know what I mean? I just think that's kind of interesting. I've never heard of anybody getting cancer.
Yeah, I've never heard of anybody getting cancer on their butt either.
No. So, you know, there's one place on your body that's fairly safe.
Fairly safe, yeah. The butt.
Yeah.
What in the butt?
What? Oh, my God. That's hilarious. I have had so much fun talking to you, Miss Gemma.
I had fun, too.
It's been
so
long. I know. It's just unbelievable. Sometimes, I can't believe. 4 years. Oh, my God. You know? Sometimes I get ladies on here and I go, oh, my God, really? It's been that long since we've talked? It's just ridiculous. But it was fun. And, yes, Bookie, I know. This was amazingly good. You should come every week, Bookie. You should. Next week we have...
Oh, Bookie's in absolute heaven. He's had Gemma for 2 days straight.
Oh, has he? Oh, my.
Well, yeah, last night I was the Monday Mystery Mistress.
Oh.
And I thought he was just going to die when he found out who it was.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that. Well, I like to pop in on that one every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Fun to surprise them.
That's the best part.
Place, can you imagine? Oh. So, I'm going to let you go and let everyone else go for their evening. And I do thank you so much, darling. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I had a lot of fun. And, now the guys are going to go back and be like, you will not believe what we found out about Miss Gemma.
Exactly. Oh, yes. And we'll get it posted up on the Mistress Interviews this week also. So for the Mistress Interviews and me and for Miss Gemma, we will all say good night, boys. You've had
good night, boys.
And we'll see you next week with Miss Faith. Good night.
Good night.